British Sky Broadcasting and Paramount Vantage present Carriers, written and directed by Alex and David Pastor, starring Lou Taylor-Pucci as Danny, Chris Pine as his brother Brian, Piper Perabo as Brian's girlfriend Bobby, and Emily Van Camp as Danny's school friend Kate. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. Home movies. Two young boys and their mother wave to the camera on a sunny beach. The mother runs up to the camera and takes it. The father runs into shot and starts playing with the boys, lifting one by his feet. The father holds the two boys under his arms and twirls around. The boys throw bread for seagulls, then chase them towards the water's edge, waving their arms. White-crested waves roll into the sandy beach under a blue sky. The camera moves upwards, focusing on the sky. It becomes the sky upside down over a long, straight desert road. A lone car drives along it with two surfboards on top and Road Warrior scrawled on the bonnet. The camera follows the car and becomes the right way up.
20 questions.
Go.
You're a man. Are you in politics?
The driver throws out a can.
Ah, warm beer. Tastes like piss.
A skull hangs from the Mercedes keyring. A photo of two little boys is stuck to the windscreen.
It's your turn, babe.
Dead or alive?
I think that's a really stupid question these days.
You know, he's kind of an asshole, but if you need me to take care of him, I will.
I can hear you.
He's the one in the family with all the brains.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
The girl in the front, Bobby, kisses the driver, Brian. Danny and Kate in the back exchange looks and smile.
All right, the interstate's coming up. What do we do?
Don't get on it. Stay on this back road.
How come every time you say that, we end up in a three-hour scenic tour in the middle of nowhere?
Look, we agreed on the rules, didn't we?
Yeah, and by taking it, we're breaking what?
The rule that says we shouldn't take the interstate.
I guess, we wouldn't want to break any rules, huh? He said, drinking his beer as he drove the stolen Mercedes ridiculously over the speed limit. And look, no hands.
Babe, don't.
Stop.
Brian takes his hands off the wheel. The car swerves from one side of the empty road to the other. He swigs beer from a can.
All right, smartass. I'll read the map.
Can you? It has actual writing on it.
Very funny.
Brian grabs the map. There's a car up ahead blocking the road. They slow down. A man waves at them.
Hey, guys!
All right, windows, everybody.
They shut all the windows.
What's this guy doing?
My daughter and I, we ran out of gas.
All right, sir, please move your car out of the road.
We left Denver yesterday morning. Last gas we got was Colorado Springs.
I'm sorry we can't help you. Now move your car.
Look, all we need is just a little bit of gas.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You and everybody else. Stay where you are.
We can trade you for it. We got food and water.
Brian, we have more than enough.
More than enough? How do you know that? I said do not get any closer.
Brian, he looks clean.
Or he could be incubated. Think about it for a second.
Guys! She's got it.
Shit!
A little girl wearing a bloody face mask looks out of the back of the car. Her father rushes at the Mercedes with a spanner and smashes the driver's window as they drive off at speed, swerving around the vehicle that's across the road. The father stands by it, watching them leave. Bobby, in the front of the Mercedes, looks back at him.
They'll die out there.
Everyone dies.
As they drive off, they leave a trail of oil on the road.
The rules are simple. At least that's how my brother sees it. One, avoid the infected at all costs. Their breath is highly contagious. Two, disinfect anything they've touched in the last 24 hours. Three, the sick are already dead. They can't be saved. You break the rules, you die. You follow them, you live. Maybe.
White smoke billows from under the bonnet. They pull over to the side of the road. Brian shoots at a roadside election sign for sheriff, hitting the cutout figure in the face. Danny finds a wrench in the boot.
Hey, look what I found. Great. Hey, if you happen to find a brand new factory-issued oil pan, holler. Are you sure you can't fix it? It's blown, Ivy boy.
He shoots the cutout in the crotch.
Brian.
What?
All that car needed was gas.
Wait, what? No. No, no, no way.
If we sit here, we're just gonna die.
We won't if we go back. You saw the girl. You saw the blood, the rashes. Bobby, come on, you saw her. Am I the only one here?
Kate, we do not have a lot of options.
They're your rules!
Danny, tell your girlfriend to get her shit together.
She's not
my girlfriend. All right, then tell me, why the hell is she here? Huh? Why don't we let her sit tight in her McMansion, waiting for the looters?
Okay, could we just calm down and try and think this thing through? Please.
Yeah. So then what about the car? I don't know, Danny. I'm trying to think.
Well, we need that car.
I know that!
Brian paces up and down at the roadside.
Shit!
He puts the gun in his waistband. The four, wearing rubber gloves, carry containers of fuel and bleach back up the road to the other car. The father watches them.
All right, put your masks on, guys.
They all put on paper masks on which they've drawn smiles as they approach the vehicle. The father stands alongside it.
Frank Holloway. We're gonna need your car.
Frank glances at his daughter.
Yeah, figured as much. You really want to splatter your brand new vehicle with the insides of someone who, for all you know, may be infected?
We got loads of Clorox. Cleanup is not my chief concern.
Brian, that's all right. That's close enough.
I picked up a radio transmission from a school outside of Farmington last week. People from all over the state are traveling there.
For what?
CDC. They set up some kind of emergency response center. They've got a new serum.
That's one hell of a story, man. I don't think I've heard that one yet.
Are they getting results?
No, they're not getting any results, Kate.
They've got a new treatment. And I am taking my daughter there in this car. Now, if you're on board with that, great. If not... This is a fairy tale, and he knows it. It's the Baltimore vaccine all over again. It's a bunch of retrovirals that don't work for shit.
So go ahead, Brian, shoot him in the head.
Wait. Hey. I got an idea.
Frank and his little girl sit in the back of the car while Danny and Bobby tape up a clear plastic barrier behind the front seats. Bobby splashes bleach over the upholstery. Danny wipes the steering wheel with bleach. Brian stands on the roof of the vehicle and throws down luggage. The little girl watches through the car window.
Hey! You want to know a secret? Boys, their bark is worse than their bite. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Don't listen to her, kiddo. Trust me. She loves it when I bite.
Why don't you eat me, Brian?
I think we can arrange that.
Jesus, Brian. She's like eight.
Yeah, well, mentally, so is he.
Shadows lengthen as they drive alongside the abandoned Mercedes. Danny gets out and fastens a tray of bottles of water onto the roof rack. He retrieves the photo of the two little boys from the Mercedes windscreen, watched by Brian.
Adios, road warrior. You crap piece of shit.
godless governments have fallen, and the armies of man have perished by his hand. For this pandemic is the flail of God, and the world his threshing floor. And implacably, he will thresh out his harvest until the wheat is separated from the chaff, the righteous from the sinner. And make no mistake about it, there shall be far more chaff than wheat. Few chosen of the...
Come to think of it, I haven't seen much wheat around lately.
Very funny.
What?
Just show some respect.
For what? God's punishing my daughter?
Who's he rewarding,
huh? Who, you?
That's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Some people locked themselves away, piled up food, didn't even pick up the phone. They're dead in a week. Me, I worked at the stadium digging those mass graves for $400.
$400 a day.
That's exactly right. You can laugh all you want, but I was up to my knees in that shit, and here I am.
So you're immune? Or chosen? Something?
I'm here and they're not.
So then I guess you won't mind kissing my daughter goodnight for me, huh, Brian?
In the thick darkness.
I didn't think so. Well, so much for being chosen, huh?
That's hysterical, huh? Ivy League.
Where'd you go to school, Danny?
You got a scholarship to go to Harvard.
Yeah. It was Yale, actually.
It doesn't really matter, does it? Little something shut the place down before freshman orientation.
Watch it, Brian.
How's that for a knee slapper?
Why did you be such a heavy...
Bobby slaps Brian. He lets go of the wheel. The car swerves. He jams his foot on the brake. Frank's hand presses against the plastic barrier. The tape gives way. Kate looks anxious. The car screeches to a halt. Brian rests his head on the steering wheel. Kate jumps out.
You stay in the back. You hear me?
Hey, I will if you keep your eyes on the goddamn road.
Hey, you can get out any time. You can get out right now!
Kate! Tape held. You don't have to worry about it.
Are you okay? What is it?
She spotted a car by the roadside. Danny and Brian carry petrol and a hose over to it.
Damn it, I think she knocked the filling loose.
I weep for you.
Danny tries the fuel cap.
It's locked.
He opens the car door. A blackened arm hangs down. Danny covers his mouth as he looks at the unconscious driver.
Danny, be careful. It's okay.
Danny puts on his mask and leans across the driver, whose face is covered in red veins. He accidentally knocks the keys onto the floor.
Shit.
Danny reaches down to pick up the keys, but freezes as he hears a gurgling sound from the driver. He slowly looks round to see the driver's red eyes open. Danny throws himself onto the ground and kicks the door shut.
Hey, you all right? Danny, what happened?
The driver's hand hits the window.
Jesus. Just get the gas and let's go.
Nighttime. A campfire burns near the parked car. Brian is pulling luggage off the roof rack. He reaches in the car to take the car keys and waves them in front of Frank, who's still in the back with his daughter.
Hey, kids. We'll be back in 20.
Yeah, we'll be back in more like 5.
Shit.
Bobby! Baby!
What's that?
That? Well, Brian and I, we had a dad, too. He's just like yours. And, every summer when we were little, he would take us to this place. It's Turtle Beach. And we could swim and surf and we'd fish and eat these soft shell crab sandwiches that were soaked in mayo.
Ew. Were there lots of turtles?
Lots. God, there were thousands of them. They were everywhere. I mean, you could barely put your foot in the water without stepping on one. Sometimes, they'd be stacked up on top of each other.
That's impossible.
It is possible. They were everywhere.
Should we go to Turtle Beach with them?
Shh. Time to sleep. What makes you think you're gonna be safe there?
It's an old motel. Place has been abandoned for years. We'll go on scavenging trips and quarantine ourselves every single time we get back. We'll wait.
Until they come for us.
Until the disease dies off.
The disease or the people?
It's the same thing, really.
Bobby, I love you. And you know what a dipshit I can be sometimes, so what's the big deal?
I think we should see other people.
If that's the way you feel.
That's the way I feel.
He grabs her around the waist.
You can be such a dipshit sometimes.
I know! Probably the biggest in the world at this point.
They start to kiss. Brian takes off his shirt and lifts Bobby up by her waist. They kiss again. Nearby, within earshot, seated by the campfire, Danny and Kate glance at each other and smile, looking awkward.
Do you ever think of Yale?
Yeah, sure. That and all those things you think you'll get to do someday.
Danny and Kate jump up as two vehicles pull up. A man jumps out of a car.
Where you think you're going, boy?
Brian smothers the fire with his shirt. The man runs from his car, caught in the headlights, and is gunned down. They watch, horrified, as the gunman stands over his victim with a torch, then turns to give a thumbs up towards his vehicle. Daylight. They slowly drive past a wind turbine next to a deserted road. A man's corpse is tied to the framework. Frank shields his daughter's eyes as they pass. The Asian victim has a sign strung round his neck. Chinks brought it. A yellow sign on a post, infectious area, in case of exposure, immediately notify public health authority. They drive through an empty town, passing an abandoned table in the window of a diner and birds fluttering in a cage in a pet shop. They cross a deserted junction. They turn into a residential street lined with rubbish. Gardens are taped off. Cardboard coffins are piled up. There are crosses painted on garage doors. They pass a lorry reading a sign on its side. Biohazard, emergency response, human remains, removal and disposal. Black body bags hang out of the back. They drive past burnt-out vehicles and cross a car park to Highland High School. A sign, emergency centre here. They park and get out.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Danny!
Honey, I'm just going in there to make sure there are monsters under the bed.
If they're monsters, you shouldn't go.
Shh. Okay, now listen to me. There's no reason to worry. All right, I'll be back before you can say Captain Feather Sword.
Captain Feather Sword.
It's too smart for me, you know that?
I'll stay with her.
Bobby. Look, now is not the time, okay?
The girls need some alone time to talk about boys.
Brian glances anxiously at the child.
I am serious. Do not get too close to her.
I'm serious. Just go. It's gonna be fine.
You know, you are always doing whatever the hell you want.
That's why you love me.
Brian smiles and shakes his head. Frank enters the school, looking around. He stands in a corridor full of wheelchairs and medical equipment. Brian enters the school. Frank walks down the corridor, followed by Brian, Kate, and Danny, looking around. Kate stops, turns, and walks off alone, while Danny and Brian peer into a classroom full of beds and drips. The pillows are stained with blood. On the wall above the blackboard, a poster, Career Day, Your Future Depends on It. Brian laughs, wryly.
Looks like your hospital ran out of patients, Frank.
Frank jogs off down the corridor.
Come on, let's get out of here.
They turn to leave.
Where's Kate?
They find her at a line of telephones trying to make a call.
What is she doing?
Kate, we have to go. There's nothing here.
You don't know that.
Kate, they failed. Let's go.
There's a whole wing we haven't checked yet. You see? There are people here.
Wait!
Putting on their masks, they follow Kate, who chases a shadowy figure into a large, dimly lit hall. It's full of beds covered by clear plastic. They walk through them until they see a large tent, also of clear plastic, inside a man in a white coat and a young boy.
No way.
Oh my God, they did it.
As they start walking towards the tent, Frank enters the hall and also approaches the tent, standing outside the clear plastic sheeting to address the man in the white coat, whose back is turned.
Sir?
Yes.
Are you in charge here?
No, you want Dr. Lindis. His office is on the second floor of the old math building. But you won't find him there. Died on Thursday.
Doctor, we've come all the way from Colorado. We heard that you had a serum here. It's my daughter. My daughter's very sick.
How long?
A little over a week.
Is she bleeding from her ears yet?
No.
Well, bring her in. Okay, kids, these nice people are going to take you to parents. We're all waiting outside. So, as soon as we finish our medicine, we'll all be right as rain.
What are you doing to these kids? What's that? Where's the serum?
The serum? Yes, we had a serum. For 3 days, it stabilized the patients. If you actually improved, 3 days. That's the best that we could do. For anyone else in the world, as far as I know. Staved off the virus for 3 days, prolonged sickness and pain for 72 hours. Well, I'm not prolonging it anymore.
What's in the punch?
Potassium. Lots and lots of potassium. Now, if you'll excuse us.
The man, whose face is bloody, draws a curtain.
No, stop. You can't do this.
Kate, they're sick. They're already dead. Let's go.
Brian,
who's dead?
Kids.
My daughter's alive! She's not dead.
The other place.
Stop Kate. Pulling the goddamn
please.
Curtain.
Please. Please.
Give me your gun. Frank, stay where you are.
Give me your gun, Brian.
Frank, you know I can't do that.
Give me the gun!
Danny grabs it.
No, stop. You stop it! Now! Put that down. Put it down!
Look around you. We lost power 2 weeks ago. We sucked the town dry of gas just to run the generators. There's nothing left.
Frank, who's aiming at the man in the white coat, glances at the children he's about to poison.
Don't. Please don't.
Sometimes choosing life is just choosing a more painful form of death.
Frank stares at the man, then slowly lowers his gun. The man draws the curtain. Frank stands outside the large tent, still holding the gun, then turns and walks towards Kate, Danny and Brian. They step aside to allow him to pass. Brian watches Frank stop and look at the gun in his hand. Frank looks over at Brian, then stoops to drop the gun on the polished wood floor.
You're telling me your favorite cartoon's name is Mop Face Circle Shirt?
No!
Brush Bill Soup Jeans?
No! SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, Spoon Lives Boxer Shorts!
Bobby looks alarmed as the little girl on the other side of the plastic drops to the floor of the car, struggling to breathe.
Frank! Frank!
She sees an oxygen cylinder on the other side of the plastic.
Okay, you're gonna be okay. Just, okay, listen, breathe slow.
Glancing at the plastic, Bobby pulls on her mask and rubber gloves. Holding the mask over her face, Bobby rips down the plastic and grabs the tube from the oxygen cylinder. As she leans into the back of the car to put the oxygen mask on the child, she lets her own mask drop. The child spews blood over her. She touches her face and looks at the blood on her gloved hand. She wipes her face with her arms. Suddenly, she notices Frank coming out of the school. She grabs her mask and tapes up the plastic screen. Kate, Brian and Danny are behind Frank, approaching the car. Bobby finishes taping up the screen and sits in her seat, then realises she has blood on the sleeve of her coat. She tears off her coat. Brian knocks on the car window.
We're getting out of here.
Frank opens the back of the car to check on his daughter. He climbs in.
What happened?
Nothing. She took it off. She had problems breathing, I think.
Come here.
Daddy, I have to go.
Number one or number two?
Number two.
Now, can you hold it? But if I get you like a potty or something, can you do it here then?
She shakes her head.
Ina, I need you to be a very big girl for me right now. Okay, I need you to be really brave. You see those little blue huts over there? I need you to go over there by yourself, and I'll be waiting right here for you, okay? Can you try that for me?
Ready.
Come on.
Frank lifts her out.
I'll be waiting right here for you, okay?
Frank gently puts her on the ground. Danny and Kate watch the child take slow steps, unsteady on her feet, until she collapses onto one knee.
Okay, honey.
Daddy.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You did great. I'm very proud of you. And Daddy will take you, okay?
Holding her in his arms, Frank turns to Danny.
You strike me as a good man, Daniel.
Frank starts to back away.
We'll be back in a minute.
Come on, honey. Putting on his mask, Brian lifts their suitcase out of the car. Danny starts to follow Frank. Kate looks troubled.
Get in.
Brian lifts out the oxygen tanks. Kate climbs into the car. Brian grabs Danny.
Get in the car. We can't leave them here. Not here.
Look, we brought them here. That was the deal. It's time to drop the fairy tales and move on.
You heard what that doctor said, man. There's nothing here. There's nothing.
You already put us in danger once back there.
Bobby. Bobby, say something.
Bobby ignores Danny. Brian climbs into the car. Danny, watching Frank, reluctantly gets in. Frank is still carrying his daughter to the toilets.
Hey, what was that song? What was that song Miss Stevens taught you that used to sing all the time?
It's a spider.
Yeah, do you remember how to sing that?
It's a spider. Up the water. the stuff.
Down came the rain and washed the spider up.
Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itchy bitchy spider went up the spout again.
Brian has driven away. They stop near to a hotel sign in the desert and throw water over the car. Wearing masks and gloves, Kate and Danny wash out the back of the vehicle with mops. Unseen, Bobby drops her blood-stained Mac on the ground and kicks it under the car. Brian is wandering up to the hotel sign. Danny finds the child's doll in the back of the car. He picks it up. Brian joins him at the rear of the vehicle.
How long till the beach, Danny?
At least 2 days. Why?
Danny hurls the doll away. Brian watches, then glances at the hotel sign.
Anyone for 18 holes? Huh? We're to stop somewhere for the night, might as well be high end. Right? What do you say, Bobby?
Do whatever you want, Brian.
They drive off, leaving Bobby's Mac on the road. They drive up to the sand-coloured, flat-roofed hotel, passing a golf cart on a grassy mound. They park outside. Putting on gloves, their masks round their necks, they walk through the open door and into reception. White sheets cover the furniture. Brian pretends to fire his gun. He tucks the gun into his trousers and approaches the reception desk.
Hello! Hello!
They wander around the lobby.
Service here is for shit.
Danny and Kate walk off down a corridor. Bobby is in the kitchen looking at her reflection in a mirror, checking her neck. Brian takes off his gloves and approaches Bobby.
You all right?
Yep.
He reaches out to touch her. She flinches and recoils.
Hey.
She avoids looking at him. He looks down awkwardly.
Look, what happened back there? I'm just trying to get us to the beach alive. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
We all agreed on the rules. And the sec they're dead, there's nothing we can do for them.
Right.
All right, I should go check the back.
Okay.
He leaves. She bites her lip. She turns to check her neck in the mirror again, then smiles.
Okay, knock it off, stupid. You're fine.
She smiles nervously. Danny and Kate are in a corridor.
Hey, Danny, I found the pool!
From a window, Danny and Kate watch Brian on a springboard poking a pole in the rubbish-filled pool.
You want to play Marco Polo?
Brian prods something on the bottom of the pool. A body in a contamination suit floats to the surface. Brian slips, hanging upside down under the springboard.
Help!
Brian struggles to hang on to the board.
Christ, Danny!
Brian's fingers slip. He's almost in the water. As he loses his grip, Danny grabs his hand and hauls him up onto the springboard. Brian turns onto his back and glances at the corpse floating below him. Suddenly, he looks up at Danny.
Let's play some golf.
Brian drives the golf cart at breakneck speed across the golf course, which has been created in the desert. He hurtles across the greens, which are worn away in patches, revealing orange sand beneath the grass. He flies over the edge of a deep bunker. As the golf cart flips over, Brian jumps clear.
Hey, you okay?
I thought golf was for old people.
Danny throws a ball at him. Danny storms off. Bobby hangs back. Brian kneels in the sand.
Come on down here, baby.
What?
Help me out of here. Come on. It'll be just like the time we broke into Forest Oaks. Remember how the groundskeeper booted us out?
Yeah.
Well, this time, we're members. They can't touch us. It's nice and soft.
Just come out of there. Come on.
Please give me a hand.
Bobby hesitates, then takes a club out of her golf bag and holds it out for him to grab. He nods and snatches it, pulling her down into the bunker and kissing her.
Come on.
Brian!
Get over it! Get over it!
Stop it! Come on!
Don't! What?
I'm gonna get all dirty!
It's sand!
Yeah, sand is dirt, asshole!
She storms off, leaving Brian kneeling in the bunker, looking perplexed. Dropping his cigarette, Brian is about to hit a ball, watched by Kate and Danny.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 18th hole, and young Brian Green steps up to the tee. He needs a hole-in-one here to get to the Masters, but what he's really worried about is people finding out that he's gay!
Oh, God damn it!
Dude. My advice to you is put the club down, wait 10 minutes, just never pick it up again.
If it's so funny, show us what you got.
Thanks, but I think I'll use an actual driver.
Kate takes a club from a golf bag and prepares to swing.
It's getting out of the wire, folks. Katie, Kate, whatever her last name.
Ooh.
All right.
She hits the ball expertly.
The girl can swing.
Fairfield Country Club, junior champion 3 years in a row. Thank you very much. Tiger Woods can kiss my ass.
Brian, Danny and Kate hit golf balls towards the hotel, taking it in turns to smash the windows. One of the balls lands on the floor of a room on a sheet of plastic. Blue overalls hang in the wardrobe. Three gas masks hang in a row. On a shelf, two large bottles of aspirin amongst other medication. Rolls of silver duct tape are stacked up. Rows of plastic bottles of water. Two rifles lie on a storage box. The walls are lined with plastic.
We're coming back. Do you hear me? We're coming back.
The sky darkens. Kate is trying a row of public phones under a dim light in the lobby.
What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? All day long, every single phone. The phones are dead.
So I just gotta try to get in touch with my parents.
They're dead too.
You don't know that?
I don't. Where were they?
Their cruise ship was quarantined in Paris.
And they're dead.
How do you know? You don't even know where Piraeus is.
It doesn't matter where Piraeus is. Everyone everywhere is dead. Your parents, my parents. Soon you and I will be dead too.
Brian is outside in the dark, drunkenly smashing empty miniature bottles. Danny and Kate are in the dark hotel.
Kate, what happened?
Please. What did she say to you?
A torchlight flashes.
Brian? That's not Brian.
Kate and Danny turn and run, pursued by the beam of the torch. They start to run upstairs, but hearing voices, turn and run into the dark kitchen. A light shines through the glass in the double doors. They each grab a knife from a block. Someone enters the kitchen, shining a torch. Danny and Kate are sitting on the floor, hiding behind a counter, looking petrified. A figure in a gas mask and contamination suit, shining a torch and holding a rifle, is searching the kitchen. The figure shines the torch over the counter where Kate and Danny are hiding, breathing heavily. The figure moves towards the door, shining the torch around the kitchen. The beam falls on the knife block. He notices two are missing. He takes aim with the gun, shining the torch on an open door near where Kate and Danny are hiding. They freeze. As the figure nears the counter, Danny stretches out a leg to push the door, and while he's distracted by the movement, they run to the double doors. They're confronted by two blinding lights. Brian is outside in the dark, drinking from a miniature. He knocks it back, then slings the bottle away, and stumbles towards a horse trailer which is shaking, carrying a golf club. He walks round the end of the trailer, then steps back. Suddenly, he catches sight of someone approaching with a torch. He ducks down and peers through the slats in the side of the trailer, watching the armed figure in the contamination suit come out of the hotel with a torch. Brian leaps up as the torchlight shines through the slats. Inside, a chestnut horse becomes agitated, showing the white of its eye. The figure approaches. Brian reaches for his gun, then glances back at the hotel. Brian tucks the gun back in his trousers and raises the golf club. The figure reaches the corner of the trailer. Brian smashes the golf club into his knees. The figure collapses. Brian stoops over him, pushing the club down across his neck.
Who are you? And what the hell are you doing here? Huh? Who are you? Maybe we'll be able to talk once we get rid of this.
No, don't touch me! Please don't touch me! We've been out a couple of days, gunning for supply. We just got back.
Let him go! No.
Brian looks up to see the others held at gunpoint. He stands up and tosses the golf club away.
We got everybody. I think so.
There's nobody else.
I suppose.
What?
They breached it. It's not safe. I can't. It's not safe.
Well, that's what you get for living in a condo, man. You get screwed.
Hey, leave him alone! We just wanted to spend the night here.
You sons of bitches. What have you done with Larry?
Brian spits blood at his inquisitor, who jumps back.
How the hell do I know, man? Maybe he got in a fight with a shower curtain like the rest of you guys.
One of the men kicks Brian.
Larry. He was guarding the place.
By the light of a red flare, the men find their colleague floating in the pool.
They killed him.
He was like that when we got here.
Yeah, right. You expect us to believe that?
Why don't you go in the pool? Check out the cause of death for yourself. What, no volunteers?
Shut up. Tom, you must have been sick when we left. Didn't say anything.
That's impossible. You know that's impossible. The system is perfect.
Why? Because you thought of it?
He didn't seal up his suit properly. He made a mistake. He didn't follow procedure.
Whatever gets you through the night.
You know, I just met you.
and I'm already sick of you.
Have that effect on people.
Brian, cut it out, Jesus!
He holds Brian on the edge of the pool.
I want all of you out of here. Now!
He releases Brian. One of the others takes a container of fuel out of their vehicle.
Hey! Please, we need that.
So do we. Get in. Not you.
What?
What the hell are you doing? Let the girl go.
The girl stay.
No!
Yeah, they stay.
Get your hands off me!
Don't you touch her, you son of a bitch!
Don't move! Get back! You keep the girls. What are you gonna do with the guys? Kill them? We're not that kind of people. Yeah? And what kind of people are we, huh? The kind that just sits and waits to die?
Brian reaches for his gun. Danny mouths, wait.
Screw you, Tom. This isn't the mill. You're not in charge anymore. Let the girls go.
Whilst one suited figure holds another at gunpoint with his pistol, a third appears with a rifle and points it at the gunman. The one who wanted to keep the girls grabs the pistol.
We have to check them out. Make sure they're clean.
Right.
Bobby and Kate look apprehensive. One of the men approaches them.
Strip.
Please,
no. I said strip!
Bobby looks at Kate, who takes off her cardigan, starting to cry. As Bobby takes off hers, Brian slowly reaches for the gun in the back of his jeans. One of the men glances at him. Danny watches anxiously. Kate and Bobby strip down to their bras.
Shit, 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 shit!
What's going on?
Oh my God, back off, back off!
Somebody tell me what's going on!
Stay away from her!
What the hell is going on?
I said go!
Brian rushes forward with his gun, then stops as he sees red marks covering Bobby's torso.
I said right now!
Danny pulls Brian away as he stands transfixed in front of Bobby. Bobby gathers up her clothes hurriedly. The four friends jump into their vehicle and drive off as the suited figures, pointing their guns at one of their own, go back into the hotel. Daybreak. They speed through the desert. Brian is driving. Danny sits alongside him. Both wear masks. Kate, also wearing a mask, is in the back, leaning out of the window, her brow furrowed. She looks across at Bobby, who stares ahead with no mask. Kate looks down at Bobby's hand, resting on the leather seat. When Bobby moves her hand, fingerprints are briefly left on the upholstery. Kate shrinks away from her and leans out of the window, pulling her cardigan around her shoulders. Bobby, looking tearful, turns her head away. The petrol gauge is close to empty. They turn off the road into a petrol station. A sign reads, "Mike is dead. Meet me at Dad's." As they stop, Kate jumps out of the vehicle. Pulling off her mask, she heads for a payphone and stands in front of it, head on one side, staring at it.
This one's locked. Let me look inside. I'll go check the back.
Brian is checking the petrol pumps. Kate turns her head away from the phone, then, looking solemn, walks around the corner of the garage. He's kneeling in front of a shrine made up of crosses, candles, flowers, and framed photos. Katie kneels alongside him. Danny stares at a photo of a young couple.
You want to end up like them?
Kate turns to Danny and pats his shoulder with a gloved hand.
We will if she stays. Talk to him.
Danny joins Brian in the garage shop.
Brian?
Help me out, will you?
We need to talk.
The key to the
Pump has to be here somewhere.
Brian, we need to deal with this.
What the hell is that key?
Brian leans on the counter of the trashed shop, head bowed, breathing hard.
Get in the car.
Danny returns to the car as Kate is shutting the back.
Get in.
Danny, Kate, and Brian get in, putting on their masks.
Any luck?
Ignoring Bobby, who's in the back seat, Brian drives off, away from the garage, with Kate leaning out of the rear window. He stops the car.
Brian.
A sign, Newell, 2 miles, is in front of them. Brian switches off the engine.
Get out.
Bobby doesn't move. Kate looks out of the window.
I said get out.
She releases her seatbelt.
That's not what I said.
She freezes, looking tearful. She looks across at Kate, who turns away and stares out of the window, frowning. She looks at Danny in the front seat. He ignores her, head bowed.
Please let me stay.
Brian leaps out, opens the back door, and drags Bobby out.
Brian, do not do this!
There's a town down that road.
These are just bruises. I've been bouncing around the back of that stupid
car
for days. Of course I have bruises,
but here's half a gallon.
But I'm fine. I love you.
Rationing it should last you for a few days.
You love me, don't you?
Those for the food.
Brian, I'll wear a mask. I didn't know.
Hell, you didn't know! Don't you do that! Don't you lie to me!
I wasn't sure. Please don't leave me here.
Kate and Danny remain in the car. Brian leans on it.
When you get to town, you find a comfortable place, you know, with a good bed. And get yourself a blanket, even if it feels hot now. I'm out of water. Do it before you're too weak.
He shuts the rear door and goes to the driver's seat.
Brian!
I warned you about the girl. I told you to stay away from her. Why the hell couldn't you have listened to me?
She was joking. She couldn't breathe.
He jumps in and drives off. Bobby runs after the car, sobbing. She stops and stands in the middle of the empty desert road, watching them leave. They drive down the long straight road towards a flat-topped mountain. Danny glances at Brian, looking troubled.
Brian, hand me a beer, will you?
He passes Brian a can of beer. Brian swigs from the can. Kate stares out of the window.
Warm beer. Tastes like piss.
Danny glances at the near empty petrol gauge. Kate looks agitated.
What are we gonna do?
I don't know.
It's almost gone.
I know that.
Sunlight glints on the windscreen of an oncoming car.
Car.
I see it.
We gotta make him stop.
Yeah, we'll just wave politely and ask for help. Brian! Brian!
Brian crosses the line and accelerates towards the car, then brakes and swerves sideways on, blocking its way. Breathing heavily, he starts to get out of the car.
Hey. I'll deal with this.
Danny gets out and approaches the other car.
Stay where you are.
Don't come any closer.
I'm gonna stay right here. We just need some gas.
Sorry, we don't have any to spare.
I know. I understand.
There's a fish hanging on the mirror.
But I was just hoping that maybe as a fellow Christian, you might be able to help us.
Please don't do that.
See, my wife in the car, she's pregnant. We're just looking for a cool place to have the baby. See this thing through.
Come on, first, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Good luck.
Please, I'm begging you!
Brian fires at the car.
No, Brian!
The car slips backwards off the road.
Get out! Get out!
A woman gets out and shoots Brian in the leg. He falls over and returns fire, hitting her. He lies on his back on the tarmac, then struggles to get to his feet. He bends over, head bowed. Danny starts to get up. Brian limps past Danny, back to the car.
Get the gas.
Danny holds his head, looking distressed as he stares at the dead women. Kate unloads empty plastic containers from their car.
What are you doing?
They weren't going to give it to us, Danny.
Help her out.
Danny approaches Brian.
You don't talk to me. You hear me? You don't tell me what to do. Don't look away from me, you son of a bitch. I'm talking to you. What the? I am talking to you, and I'm telling you what to do, you self-righteous shit.
It must be nice. Sitting on the sidelines while your dumb brother waits in shit for you? Somebody had to do it. Was it gonna be you, Danny? You remember? You remember our last day at home? Was it you who went up to Mom and Dad's room to get his gun? Was it? It wasn't you! It wasn't you who had to go up there and lie and tell him not to worry, that you'd be back real soon.
You were alive? You're alive?
You knew they were.
Huh? You told me.
What? You wanted to hear.
You asshole! Asshole!
Brian grips Danny from behind in a headlock.
I'm an asshole for what? Tell me, Danny. Asshole for what? For what?
Let you walk by with a clean conscience? Huh?
Well, that's what you like, Danny. Remember Bobby? You remember Bobby?
I was the one that had to drag her out of the car while you just sat there watching me do it.
Brian bends over Danny, gripping his arm.
Bobby was right. You got all the brains.
Brian suddenly releases his grip and falls back against the car. Danny catches him, opens the door, and helps him climb in. Storm clouds gather. Rain beats down on the car windscreen. A carpeted staircase in shadow. Alongside it, framed family photos on the wall. In a bedroom at the top of the stairs, an elderly woman lies in bed. She reaches out weakly. A hand opens the drawer of a polished wood chest of drawers and pulls out a handgun. Gripping the gun, Danny looks at his reflection in the mirror. The woman in bed is smiling at him. Danny turns towards her and frowns. A figure lies beneath a sheet on the bed. The sheet undulates. Danny tentatively approaches. He stretches out his hand to pull back the sheet. Bobby, hideously covered in blood, sits up in the bed. Danny wakes up in the car, wide-eyed. He turns round and looks at Brian, asleep on the back seat, bleeding from a leg wound.
Hey, Brian.
They're approaching a farmhouse.
Stop here. Brian. Brian. We're gonna stop at this house, okay? We're gonna find something to dress your wound with.
Whatever you say, Doc.
A wind chime made from cutlery dangles from the porch. There are swings and a slide nearby. They drive up to the house. The windows are boarded up. Danny tugs at the timber nailed across the window, then peers through the cracks. He tries the front door. Kate approaches, looking up at the house.
Danny.
She points to an open first-floor window. Net curtains flutter in the breeze.
A little closer. Keep going. Okay, stop.
Kate reverses the car up to the porch. Danny, on top of the vehicle, climbs onto the corrugated iron roof of the porch and crawls up to the open sash window. He pushes it up and rolls inside. He freezes as he looks up at the double barrel of a gun, then sees the red face of a dead woman seated in a chair, holding it. He puts on his mask, standing up slowly as he looks around the dimly lit room.
Hello?
He takes a tissue from his pocket, pulls the shotgun from the corpse's hands and wipes it. He looks at the door.
Hello?
He creeps towards it.
If you can hear me, we just need medical supplies. Someone's hurt.
He walks towards a bedroom door that's ajar.
We're not infected. We don't mean you any harm. We're just gonna take what we need and we'll leave.
He pushes open the door to find a German shepherd on the bed eating the remains of a dead man. Danny looks nauseous. The dog looks up, snarling. Danny aims the gun at the dog, which resumes eating. He lowers the gun as he spots medicine bottles next to the bed. Keeping his eyes on the dog, he creeps over to the table and grabs the pills. He accidentally knocks over a pill container which rolls off the table, alerting the dog. It launches itself at Danny, knocking him over backwards. Danny manages to push it off using the gun. Eyes wide with fear, Danny shoots the dog. Danny opens the front door to leave the house. Kate runs up to him.
What happened?
Oh, shit.
He looks down at his blood-spattered shirt.
It's not contagious. It's not human blood. It's dog blood.
Brian's leaning against the car.
You had me worried, little brother.
Sorry.
Brian puts his gun on the car seat and winces as Danny tends his wound.
Hey, Take this the wrong way. You pull down your pants.
Brian laughs, then grimaces. Danny helps him pull down his jeans, revealing a bloody wound just above the knee. Danny recoils as he spots a livid red rash on Brian's thigh. Brian looks down at it. Danny, kneeling in front of him, puts on his mask and, shaking, pours antiseptic on the gunshot wound.
So much for being chosen, huh?
Brian throws back his head in pain as his brother wipes the wound. Danny notices the gun on the car seat. Brian follows his gaze and pushes it out of sight. Danny looks up at Brian, then continues cleaning the wound. In jeans and a bikini top, Kate is washing at a pump in the garden. Danny is watching. She turns towards him. He looks away, embarrassed. Clutching a towel to her chest, she shakes her head.
He's got it, doesn't he?
Danny nods. Sunset. They're driving. Brian's in the back behind a plastic screen.
I don't know if there's anybody listening, but my generator is dying. So if there's someone out there, this is my last song. This is Laura Merkin, last survivor of Corpus Christi, Texas, saying goodbye.
Danny takes the keys on a God Bless America keyring from the ignition. Brian stands at the back of the vehicle, shivering, a blanket round his shoulders.
Can I see those?
Danny puts on his mask, glancing at Kate, then tosses Brian the car keys. Bleary-eyed, Brian nods slightly to Danny. Wearing a mask, Kate pulls back her hair. The three of them sit round a campfire.
Bobby had this crazy idea. She wanted to be a mom. Can't believe that.
Why not?
With me? There's some things I'm just not good at, man.
Brian holds the gun in his lap.
Where did she get? A baby.
Brian smiles. His head lolls.
Who knows? Maybe I would have been good at it.
Kate looks down. Brian seems to be struggling to stay conscious. She watches his eyes close, then his head fall onto his chest. Kate's eyes fall on the gun sleeping Brian holds in his lap. She looks at Danny and nudges him, tilting her head towards his brother. Danny stares into the blazing fire, then glances at Brian and stands up, putting on his mask. Danny approaches Brian and squats in front of him in the flickering firelight. He starts to reach out with a gloved hand to take the gun.
Hey, Danny, Danny.
Brian wakes.
I gotta tell you something. It's a secret. You want to hear a secret?
Sure.
At the stadium. Some of those people, they were still alive, Danny. We were gonna dump them in the grave, and some of them would move. So I'd look at the supervisor, and he'd pretend not to see, so we pretend not to see.
We did. We did, and we buried them anyway. There were so many bodies, Danny.
I know.
So many.
I know.
How the hell did we get here?
I don't know.
You know. You both know.
As Brian seems to fall asleep, Danny slowly pulls the gun from his grasp and hands it to Kate. Crying, Danny reaches under Brian's blanket for the car keys while he sleeps. He starts to walk away, carrying the keys.
Where are you going, Danny?
Brian struggles to his feet. The blanket falls to the ground.
Where are you going, man?
We're leaving, Brian.
Brian, dragging his leg, limps towards the car. Kate and Danny get in. Danny puts on the headlights. Brian stands in front of the car, blinking in the glare. Danny fumbles with the keys. Kate watches horrified as he fails to start the car. Danny looks down at the keys. The key ring, a skull, is different.
Shit. Oh, my God.
Danny looks up to see Brian, smiling, holding up the keys on the God Bless America key ring. Brian uses the key to unlock the car doors and stares at Kate and Danny defiantly. Kate picks up the gun and shoves it at Danny. He reluctantly takes it off her. Danny gets out. Brian sways in front of the fire. Danny looks at him with a pained expression.
I need those keys, Brian.
Sure. And I need a ride.
You know I can't.
Come on, Danny. The ocean. You and me one more time. You remember how it was? Huh? Hitting those waves. Before everything turned to shit.
Just give me the keys.
You want them? Shoot me. Or take me with you.
Brian, don't do it.
I'm not gonna end up like him, Danny. Riding alive, alone. You can't tell whether they're alive or dead.
Please, Brian, don't. It's what we decided.
I'm dying, Danny! I don't give a fuck about the rules.
Danny puts on his mask.
You made them.
My little brother. Taught him everything he knows.
The photo of the brothers as children that they'd put in the car. Danny drops a mask in the ashes of the campfire and kneels beside the charred corpse of Brian, which is still smoking. Danny, kneeling on the red earth, stares at Brian, looking grief-stricken. He slowly gets to his feet. He turns and walks back to the car. Kate climbs in, then Danny gets in the driver's side. They drive away, leaving a trail of red dust, passing a large, dark red, angular rock.
I drive and wait for a storm to come and wash us all away. But it doesn't.
They drive through a desert with a backdrop of mountains.
It's a beautiful day. And it shouldn't be a beautiful day.
Kate stares ahead.
I wait.
They drive to the sea.
But nothing happens to me.
They look at each other.
And for the first time, I feel like I'm alone in the world.
White crested waves roll onto a sandy beach under a clear blue sky. Trousers rolled up, Kate wades in the shallows, gazing towards the horizon. Danny stands behind her.
We made it. Two strangers with nothing left to say.
They drive up to a hotel on the beach.
Brian and I used to love this place. The hotel, the beach.
They walk into a gift shop.
They still look exactly the same, but they're just places now.
Danny wanders up to a seafood bar on the beach. The tattered awning flaps in the breeze.
I don't know what'll happen next. I don't know how long I'll live.
He slides back a lid on the counter. Cockroaches cover the seafood inside. He picks up some insects and watches them crawl on his hand.
But I know I will be alone.
Family movies of Brian and Danny as adolescents on the beach, chasing each other and shaking up bottles of beer. Brian playfully picks up Danny at the water's edge. They stand with their arms around each other's shoulders. Brian beams at the camera. Danny walks towards the Coast Guard's lookout, which is on a raised metal platform. A tattered flag hangs outside. Flashback to the two little boys running towards the same place, climbing the ladder to the platform and reaching out to touch the flag. Danny looks up at the railings. Two little boys smile and wave. They hug each other, then lean on the railings, waving. The end.
How do you survive in a world that's been overrun by the undead? Hope you got a mate like Woody Harrelson, because he doesn't take any nonsense from those pesky undead critters. Jesse Eisenberg also stars in the dark comedy horror Zombieland all week here on Premiere HD and Sky Anytime. Thank you.